Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. This week, Syria got worse, the White House got defensive, and no matter what else happened, Congress blamed Hillary. This is a pre-recorded episode of How to Behave, so for this week in behavior, we can talk only about things that are certain to have happened this week, no matter when this episode airs. Kim Jong-un, the Supreme Leader of North Korea, behaved like a crazy person. And it's safe to say that this week, the rich got richer, the poor got poorer, the planet got hotter, Bushwick got hipster, and approximately 231 Americans were killed by guns. The Republican-controlled House of Representatives voted to repeal Obamacare, and it's safe to say that I had dinner alone in a restaurant at least once. I'm Brian Kaiser, and no matter what the date is, this is How to Behave, the Party of One show. It is a packed studio today in Bushwick. On my right, I'm reading my script, on my right, even though she's all the way across the room from me, as always, is Hannah Howard. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, I'm very disoriented here.
It's fun to see your face head on while doing the show.
Should we switch?
No.
I'm happy to switch.
New perspective on life and
mix
how
it
to
up.
Behave.
Yeah. So also with us, classical musician, seasoned traveler, and the man you can call from anywhere in the world to get a restaurant recommendation, Owen Kotler.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Thanks for being here, Owen. Art restorer, model train enthusiast, and karaoke goddess, Bree Conway.
Hello, darling.
Thank you for being here, Bree. And finally, opera singer, landscape architect, and the third-ranked badminton player east of the Mississippi, Sarah Soutelle.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. It's such an honor. I wish you'd brought your badminton equipment with you.
I really wish I knew how to play badminton.
Really? Did I get that wrong?
I think so.
I don't know what I read wrong.
It was polo.
Polo. Every week we deal head on with a different aspect of behavior. Today we're here to talk about how to behave when dining alone. The phone lines are open, so if you are listening to the live stream at heritageradionetwork.org and you want to join in the conversation, give us a call at 718-497-2128. So you all dine alone in restaurants occasionally, right?
Hells yeah.
For sure.
All the time.
All the time. Tell me, for each of you, why do you dine alone? Do you dine alone by choice, because you travel a lot, for business, because you're researching restaurants? What?
Nobody likes me.
Okay, I was...
And so I find myself dining alone.
Yes.
But I never behave, so maybe I shouldn't be here.
As someone who dines alone with you fairly regularly, I understand that nobody likes you. Sarah,
yes.
You, in all seriousness, you're a sommelier.
Oui.
And a wine director.
Yes.
You work in restaurants full time.
I do.
When you go out, you eat by yourself occasionally?
Sometimes I do. Yeah. My husband, who you know, Ryan, is in the business, and he eats out a lot too. And sometimes he's busy, and usually I'm at work while he's out dining
alone.
Probably
should have had him on the show, right?
I know, right? But when I was in wholesale, I also dined out a lot. And you found me at the bar today at Roberta's Dining Alone.
Dining Alone, I did. That's right. You can speak from experience from about half an hour ago.
I can. I'm a loser. Yeah. No, it's sometimes it's really wonderful dining alone because you can, I mean, whether or not you like it as the diner or as the bartender, you've got a relationship right there. And so you can cultivate one with the bartender or the tendress or the people sitting next to you, or you can be totally involved in your smartphone or New Yorker or catching up on old Sunday Times or something, you know, or something very intellectual.
Yeah, of course.
That I try.
Owen, you...
Or Words of Friends.
You travel a lot, and you used to travel a lot on tours with shows, right? You're a musician.
Yes, I've traveled a lot with shows, orchestras, so a lot in Europe and a lot in the U.S.
And did that lead to you having the opportunity to get a little alone time?
All the time. And I actually, you know, I hate to say it, but often I preferred dining alone in those instances because you're working with people all the time. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see them after work necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I'd go out and I'd always, of course, search for the finest restaurant I could find. And in it's interesting to me between the difference between Europe and the U.S. in that in Europe, they treat you like gold when you're dining alone. It's a very different scene. There are not a lot of bars, so you always sit at a table.
Yeah.
And they just treat you even with extra care, I would say. Whereas in the U.S., it's more of you're sitting at a bar most of the time. And that's great because you can, you know, like Sarah said, have a rapport with the bartender or who's ever serving.
Yeah. Which do you personally prefer, a table or the bar?
It's rare that I sit at a table by myself in the U.S., and in Europe it's the opposite. It's rare that you even see a bar to eat at in Europe.
Yeah.
So
were there many other single diners in Europe sitting at bars?
Sitting at bars? sitting at tables, rather?
Not that often, but there were. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were. And they really treat you well. I mean, I remember one restaurant in the Rhone Valley where I was there for two nights, and I was dining alone both nights, and both nights they sat me at a different table with a different view of the restaurant. One night I had a view of the fireplace, and they specifically did that, and they really move you around, and they make you a part of the scene, even though you're not at a bar scene.
It was thoughtful of them.
Yeah, very thoughtful.
That's great. Yeah. Bree Conway?
Hello, darling.
You have also traveled a lot for work and traveled alone for work, so you really...
Yeah.
More of the business person on the road, right?
Yeah, and I have actually a very, I guess, it's like different perspective from Owen, but, you know, I've lived in Europe as well and obviously currently live here. And I think that in the States they treat you well when you dine alone, but I've also had a very peculiar experience that just happens over and over again, whereas when I'm out to dinner by myself, I'm usually dressed pretty nicely after a day's work. I go to a restaurant, and 9 times out of 10, the servers, they automatically think I've been stood up.
Yeah?
Yeah. They think I'm alone, I'm dressed well, and obviously the person who was supposed to meet me never showed. And so
how do they deal with that? Do they say it out loud?
Oh yeah. It's kind of fun. Well, I mean, not fun, but you know, they come over and they're like, "Hi, can we get you anything besides a boyfriend?" And I'm like, "No, you know, the wine list, that'd be great. Just the wine list." They're like, "Okay, we'll be right back." And then, and you know, they're very cautious and they're very gracious. And then from there, it's a complete 180 to I pull out a notepad to go over notes of my day's work, and everyone or the server who just came, who thought I was, you know, who thought I'd been stood up, now has it in her mind that I'm a food critic because I just busted out a notepad. And so now it's gone from, "Oh my God, I hope she's okay," to, "Go tell the entire kitchen staff that a writer is at table 7. Make sure they get at, you know, they bring out the best courses." And then all of a sudden it's, "Chef wanted you to have this, da 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 da." And, you know, I could have been working for, you know, Mary Kay and they wouldn't have known any better.
Yeah, that's great. I think, like, already we're just started the show and already we have the takeaway, which is how to behave when you're dining alone. Act like a restaurant critic.
Yeah.
And of course, so, the only reason Bree was at the restaurant is because Owen recommended it.
This is very true. This is very true. I will give out Owen's email at the end of the show.
Yeah. Wherever you are in the world.
And his cell phone.
Owen knows where you should dine.
And his address.
Because he doesn't have any friends. We've already established that. So you can find a good place to eat, and you can do Owen the favor of maybe giving him someone to dine with.
I'm so lonely.
Hannah.
I feel like this group is so savvy and accustomed to eating in restaurants alone. I wonder if that's related to us all being people who work in the food wine world. Because I was a little nervous to do so before I started working in restaurants and then observed the perfectly cool, happy, satisfied, alone diners, and therefore the stigma that just existed in my brain was washed away. But before I worked in restaurants, I never ate out alone. And now,
but before you worked in restaurants, you were in high school.
That's true. I was a child.
High school, I didn't eat out too.
I did eat out alone in high school, but I know that made me weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the it was more like the Hannah fantasy of adult life. Okay. That projected Hannah didn't eat out alone. And then she learned that it was a perfectly lovely thing to do. Mostly seeing people at Casa Lula eat out alone and other places. I'm like, it's all right.
Do you equate it with the same people who, like, is going to see a Broadway show alone or going to a movie alone? Is that
I have no problem going to a movie alone.
But dining is something that's a little bit more, sacred?
I just think you have to enjoy your own company and be okay to own that in the world. And a lot of people are not. A lot of people do things with a sidekick all the time.
Yeah, and I know people who have told me that, like, they will not go out alone. Like, if they're traveling by themselves, they will order room service. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of sitting at a bar eating by themselves just is horrifyingly embarrassing to them.
Mm-hmm. Many people I know are exactly the same. They're really afraid. It's almost like, you know, the wine thing, which we'll probably talk about the next show, but people are afraid. It's something that people are really scared of.
Yeah.
To sit at a bar
and to me, that seems so sad. Like,
I know.
I've had so many great experiences dining by myself, both because of the people I meet and because of, like you were saying, getting taken really good care of by people who see, oh, this guy might be a restaurant critic. Okay, let's really...
Yeah, I've had some of my best meals ever, just not only the food, but just the whole experience dining alone.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think there's a stigma attached to dining alone? Or do you think there is, or do you think it's just in people's heads when they do it?
I think it's, in a lot of senses, it can be a generational thing, whereas my parents' generation would never in a million years, especially women, would never consider going out and dining alone because you kind of look like...
A hussy.
Have you ever dined alone in Saudi Arabia?
Only with my burqa. Yeah, where I mean, even my mother's best friend to this day would never in a million years eat out alone, because in her brain, you know, that's you know, giving people the wrong idea.
Yeah, and your mother?
Like, you're hungry.
Not my mother.
Oh,
no.
People of her generation.
Yeah. Well, her best friend, people of her generation. Now, granted, she is, my mother's best friend is about, you know, whatever, 7 years older than she. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking, okay, like late 60s, early 50. 70s. Yeah. So, and that's something that I guess as a woman, and for her, it would be completely out of the ordinary.
Yeah. I do think there's definitely a generational thing. And, like, my dad traveled a lot when I was young, and I'm sure he ate by himself because he had no other choice. But that's not what women were doing in the 60s and 70s for work.
I think there's a vulnerability.
There's a vulnerability also, I think, dining alone, because you're like, I'm just sitting here alone. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys.
I find it...
But you have to embrace that. Like Bree said, you have to be able... And I think it maybe was Hannah who said, you have to embrace that. You have to be okay being alone.
Yeah, and I find that it's a little bit like... When you get on an airplane, you can either send all the signals that you're open to talking to the people next to you, or you can bury your head in your New Yorker and make it perfectly clear that you're not there to be social. And I do that sometimes. Like, I love eating out, even when I'm not in the mood to be social. I will eat out just to sit at the bar quietly by myself and enjoy good food and good wine.
Just treat yourself.
I think those props, the New Yorker and the pad with your fake food critic activities sort of alleviate that nakedness a little bit. They're like a protection.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break. And when we come back, loser, party of you, your table is ready. This is How to Behave on heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Same Old, Same Old by California Honey Drops on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Hey,
and it's the same old road. It's the same old road. I've been walking too long. I can't walk it no more. I've been singing this same old song. It's the same old song. I've been singing too long.
The following is an actor reading an actual customer email from Heritage Foods USA.
My family and I enjoyed the Heritage turkey. It was far superior to the regular mass-produced turkeys in terms of flavor and texture. Absolutely delicious and worth the difference in price. We will never go back to the regular turkeys. It made our holidays more enjoyable. Thank you, Heritage Foods USA.
Heritage Foods USA hopes you had a great holiday season. For more specials on pork, beef, and other meats, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
We're back. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. We are talking about dining alone. So I enjoy dining alone at bars. Sometimes I've had to eat at tables in the United States because there have been no bars available. And I found it to be terribly awkward. What are the rest? Owen's already talked about this, but what do the rest of you think about dining alone at tables?
I prefer the bar.
Is it because you like to be social, like you to talk to the bartender, talk to the people around you?
Sometimes, but maybe the bar seems less isolated than a table. Maybe just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I feel like I don't care. Like, I don't feel like people are looking at me, and I don't care what I look like if I'm sitting at the bar. But suddenly, if I'm sitting alone at a table in a room full of people all together in groups,
mm-hmm.
I suddenly feel
really?
Like there's attention on me.
And then you put your New Yorker up like this and hide behind it like this.
Yeah.
So nobody
can see. I don't know. I feel like it doesn't, like, it's okay. It doesn't look bad at the bar, and it looks, I know this is in my head. This isn't real.
Yeah.
This is therapy for me, but I feel like it looks weird at a table. And I've been at tables before, actually. Like, I went to a restaurant in Washington, D.C. once. I was traveling, and I was on my way through. And I didn't have any reading material with me. And the bar was full. And so I ended up at a table with nothing to do but sit there and look around at everybody looking at me. And it was just
That's great. That's not fun. I love that.
Do you?
But see, for me, there's a big difference. In Europe, you sit there. They don't make you feel bad for taking up a two-top with one person.
Mm-hmm.
In the U.S., I feel like, you know, people are looking at you on the service staff because they want the table back because they want to sit two people there. They want to turn it over. In Europe, I can go by myself, get a table at 8 o'clock. I can sit there till 11 o'clock, and nobody's ever going to bother me. As a matter of fact, they'll treat me really well.
Yeah.
And the U.S., that will never happen.
That's true if you're a party of four, too. You can sit there all night long in Europe, and in the U.S., they're expecting to turn the table.
Yeah.
I don't mind the table aspect again. I love watching people, and it's such a wonderful way to do it if you are alone at that table, and you can kind of see other people's mannerisms and, you know, or, you know, what the couple is doing at the next table over you.
Do you ever meet other people when you're dining at a table?
I have, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Apparently, I don't know. Apparently, I'm a very open person. And
also
people look at me and are like, we should just talk to her.
Yeah, shove in tables. So yeah, it's very easy to talk to the deuce next to you or the four top next to you.
Yeah, it's very different to eat by yourself in a restaurant in New York than in the rest of the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right, where there also might be less people watching activities in Wichita.
Yeah. So do you guys have some favorite places that you dine alone? No, come on.
Oh, no. I have a
You're trying to narrow it down.
I have a good long list.
Sarah?
Blue Ribbon Downing Street Bar, I think, is awesome.
Really?
Because the guys behind the bar rock.
Yeah.
And they read people's moods so quickly, and they can tell if you want to be left alone. And because there are so many regulars there, you get to know Well, as soon as they walk in the door, you know what kind of mood they're in. You're like, okay, Caitlin needs to be left alone.
Well, that's certainly important. George needs attention. A staff that knows the regulars, you're kind of not dining alone. You're going to dine.
Oh, you can still dine alone, though.
Yeah,
you can still dine alone.
But everyone knows your name. You know, like Rob Neal, who is a guest on this show fairly regularly. I know because he comes into Casa Lula, where I work, by himself. And has been for years and years and years. And now he knows everybody on the staff. And he knows, like, now the bar, it's like after 10 o'clock, half the people at the bar all know each other. It's not like Bob and Rob and Michael and Harold are dining alone. They're actually all there dining together.
Mm-hmm. I think eating alone at some of the bigger steakhouses like Sparks or Smith & Walensky's or PJ Clark's. Yeah. Is exactly that. I love observing those regulars because you know they've been there. I mean, they're still a part of the three martini lunch hour where they sit down with a group of people or at the bar and their drink is, you know, in front of them in 5 minutes. And I mean, half the time I see that they don't even need to order off of the menu. They just, food is just brought out to them.
Yeah.
And that's just fun to watch.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all food critics.
Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
Fake food critics like me.
How do you convince them that you're a food critic if you're there twice a month? Nobody? No?
No, I don't know if I'm going back.
I don't think you can ever convince anyone you're a food critic in this universe.
Oh, my wigs are amazing. You should, no.
Without a wig.
Yeah, you'd have to look different every time you came in.
Right. Bree's got the sunglasses
costume. That's
going.
How you do it.
This is true. I can do this.
Donna wig every time she went in. Didn't Ruth Reichel do that?
Didn't she? Yeah, she did.
She did the whole identity switch.
Yeah, that's what they say. I never saw that.
Yeah.
I've only waited on her as herself. So I've never, well, that I know of, I guess. Maybe I've waited on her hundreds
of times.
Was
she dining alone?
She was not. She was in a party of four. Yeah.
But I remember her writing about needing to recruit people to dine with her because it's much easier as a food critic to try a whole bunch of stuff when you're with groups. So maybe even making the challenge of convincing that you are alone in a food critic really hard, but not impossible. I'm sure we can do it.
I find it interesting in the U.S. I find myself going, like you said, you know, if you're dining alone, but you go somewhere where you're known, you're not really dining alone. And I tend to go to places, especially in New York, where I think about, okay, I want to go out. Maybe I subconsciously feel that I don't want to be alone, so I go somewhere where I actually know somebody behind the bar, or at least I know people in the restaurant, so that I don't even consider that dining alone, really, you know?
Yeah. I actually worked at a restaurant years ago where a single diner, like, had a reservation and came in and had a table, and the maitre d' made a point of telling the staff, treat the single diners like their royalty. Yeah. Those are the most important people we have. They're the ones who are going to go tell their friends to come back here. They're the ones that are going to bring other people. They're the most important ones. So I've always made a habit
of... Do not shame table one.
overcompensate. do you guys find that you get treated particularly well when you dine alone?
Well, again, as I said before, my experiences have just been hilarious where the first reaction is... Again, 9 times out of 10, always the same as, are you okay?
Well, do you, ladies, do you get hit on when you eat at a bar alone?
All the time.
And is that good? Is that part of the fun?
I don't know. Are they going to buy me a steak, I guess?
Yeah. So the guy that says to you, can I buy you a drink? You're like, what, just a drink?
Come
on.
Exactly.
Man up.
I take my porterhouse mid-rare, thank you.
Actually, rare? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, blue cheese on my baked potato.
Yes. Would you like a drink? Yes, I'll have the bottle of champagne and one glass.
Yes, Brian, the answer is I do get hit on.
You do get hit on a lot?
All the time. No.
Yeah. Any of the men that hit on you interesting?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Bree, don't you find that it's a lot different, though, dining alone in the U.S. than it is in Europe?
I do.
Or do you not?
Yeah, no, I do. I definitely do. And I do agree with that assessment that you are treated like royalty. But I think, again, in the States, I think you get similar treatment. But, yeah, I mean, they do go out of their way. And I feel the kind of the fun thing in Europe is it feels like you have more than one server. Like, there are, you know, either management's coming up to you or
Yeah, it's almost like your family over there. Yeah. You know, they take you in as your son or your daughter, or whatever.
Like six,
it is, and really
six
treat you like that.
Different people come up to you, and you know, and
maybe
they're
feel sorry for us.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is true broadly across Europe, or is it?
I found it has been.
Like,
yeah, it's really.
Do they
amazing.
Treat you like you're their family in Paris?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely.
And in the hills of
in Germany,
Piedmont,
in Italy, yeah. and Spain,
the Germans are very nice.
The Germans are very nice.
The Germans are very nice.
And they're very efficient.
They are.
I like that about them.
Very, very efficient.
They tend to be very, very accommodating to single diners. And again, most restaurants you walk into has no opportunity to sit at the bar. There's no bar.
Right.
If there's a bar, it's just for to stand and have a drink before you sit down.
Right.
Then it's only sitting down. Here, you know, you have food bars, you have bars at the kitchen, you have bars, and you can eat at all of them, and it's great.
Yeah.
But it's a really different kind of story.
All right. Owen, I want to play a little game.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to name...
I know this game.
I'm going to name a city in the world. You tell me where I should eat.
Oh, no. This is not... Okay. What does this have to do with solo dining?
Well, where I should eat if I'm alone.
Yeah. Everybody out there in front of a computer, just Google his answers immediately.
You better make it easy.
I'm not going to make it easy. That's not entirely fun. But Vancouver.
Vancouver. Solo dining. Vidges would be great. I mean, it's actually Vidges is unique because first of all, it's an extraordinary restaurant.
It's a gas station. You have to go through the back, knock on the door twice.
I'm going to bring up Vidges in the next show when we talk about wine because I had an interesting wine experience there. But it's a phenomenal Indian restaurant. There is a bar, but you can't eat at it. It's a bar to wait because there's always a wait for a table, so you wait like an hour. But they pass food around at the bar. You can have a drink. And then you have to sit at a table.
Well, that's it's social while you're waiting for the table?
Exactly.
Like a
but
cocktail
no
party.
Opportunity to eat, yeah.
Can you kind of invite yourself into a three or four tops, be like, hey, I'm Owen, what's up? I'm from New York, and so I'm here by myself. And they're like, oh, Owen, you should join us. And you're like, what a great idea.
You know, that's very interesting. I've never tried it, but I might try it next time.
Yeah, we will find out if needy and sad is attractive.
Yeah. Always.
No,
but
I was.
Brian, you
I was
are
not,
attractive.
I was not saying that about
you. Have a face for
Owen.
Radio.
I was saying that about Sarah's question. Like, hey, you guys, can I hang out with you? Will you
Actually,
be my friends?
I've been to restaurants where you're like hang out at a bar, and then people say, "Oh, you want to join us?" You know, that type of thing. But I've never done it at Vidges.
Yeah,
and I've never actually eaten with people like you know that.
Okay. Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Mini a no place?
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's a good question. You know, there's a place across from Symphony Hall, but I cannot remember the name of it.
Really?
It's a French bistro.
You are disappointing me, Owen.
When we do this
in the real world,
I know. Well,
you
this is not the real world. This is a radio station. I am so nervous.
You're so nervous. I know.
Look at my hand shaking.
It's the Riesling talking.
I don't think we're supposed to say that we're drinking yet.
It's the Riesling that he had last night.
Right.
Talking. Okay. Paris. What are your favorite places in Paris? That's got to be an easy one.
Well, it's interesting because I was thinking about this show and I was, you know, saying before in Europe, there's very infrequently a bar where you can actually eat. But there's a place that I actually haven't eaten at, but everybody says it's great. It's called Septime in the 11th arrondissement. And there is actually a bar. It's not big, but, you know, maybe 4 or 5 people can sit at the bar and eat. So I would actually go there alone. Most of the other places, like my favorites, like Chez Michel, there's no bar. But, you know, I've been there many times alone and been treated really well.
Mm-hmm.
Le Comptoir, same thing, no bar. I can't think of any place in Paris except for Septime, which I haven't actually been to, that have a bar to eat.
Wait a minute. You can't think of any restaurant in Paris that you haven't been to?
No, that has a bar to eat.
Yeah. Sorry,
thank you, Brie.
The Riesling that was speaking again.
That would be extremely impressive.
Owen's dining is extremely impressive. I asked you once, I was in a city, I don't remember what it was, I asked you where I should eat, and you recommended a donut shop in a strip mall.
And was it good?
I didn't go. I couldn't make it because it was slightly outside of town.
See, like something like I recommended to you, Ship Bay Inn. In a Chip Bay on Orcas Island.
Yes.
Now, that's a place I would sit at a table there.
What do you know?
That was that reminds me. I made reservations there. Reservations for one. Do you guys ever make reservations for just one?
Yep.
I've done
you do that?
But yeah. I think often. Only in, mostly in Europe again.
Yeah, at Ship Bay, and it was awesome because I made a reservation, and then I rolled in there, and I was one of about 8 customers, and there must be, what, 120 seats in that restaurant? Like, it was hilarious that I had a reservation for a table for one.
See, that's a great place to sit at the bar because the dining room's fairly big, and it's different rooms. You could be in a room by yourself, which is kind of weird.
I did. I was in a room at the bar by myself, so it was just me and the bartender, which was nice. We just had a conversation.
Where is this place?
This is on Orcas Island in the San Juans off of Washington.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I recommend it highly.
Yeah, you props to Geddes.
Crazy beautiful place.
Props to Geddes. And what's the one? The Dough Bay also has a good little restaurant there, and they're a nudist colony, so that's fun.
Even also, better.
So if you're dining alone in Orcas Island, you want to go to the nudist colony at Dough Bay.
For the That's next, fine. I'd like to know if anyone has faked their identity when dining alone at the bar and or an accent.
Sounds like you have a story to tell.
Yeah. I wish we had time for that, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. So we're going to have to say goodbye. Thank you very much to today's behavior panel, Owen Kotler, Sarah Sattel, Bree Conway, and a woman who has started many meals alone at the bar but has never finished one alone, Hannah Howard. I'm Brian Kaiser. Remember to follow the advice of Albert Brooks's character in James Brooks's classic Broadcast News. It's not nice to make fun of single fat ladies. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.